This series was originally released as a Wondery Plus exclusive in 2021. Join Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts or the Wondery app to listen to Business Wars early and ad-free. Early 1998, Ben & Jerry's headquarters, South Burlington, Vermont. Fury flashes on Ben Cohen's face.
No way. Absolutely not. Tell Dryers to get lost. Ben & Jerry's isn't for sale.
CEO Perry Odak suspected he'd get this reaction. He's been at Ben & Jerry's a year, and he's gotten used to its co-founder's fiery passion. Odak is a turnaround expert with a lean build, wire-rimmed glasses, and a neatly clipped mustache. In 12 months, he's transformed the business by putting its bloated product line on a crash diet. Instead of frozen yogurts, sorbets, and low-fat options, Ben & Jerry's now goes all in on selling tasty, full-fat ice cream. After learning that 80% of Americans recognize the Ben & Jerry's brand, but only 40% know it makes ice cream, Odak flipped the promotional strategy to emphasize products rather than do-gooding. The packaging also changed. Out went the crude drawing of a bearded guy hand-churning ice cream. In came a cartoon cow frolicking over green hills beneath baby blue skies. The new look also includes better descriptions of what people will find in a pint of chunky monkey or fish food. Now, sales are shooting up, and the stock price is rebounding too, all of which makes Ben & Jerry's a tasty target for Californian ice cream giant Dryers. Odak repositions his glasses.
Ben, we should consider Dryers' offer seriously. I built this company, and I say no. I can't believe Dryers has the audacity to think he can buy us.
Odak knows arguing is futile. Once Ben's made up his mind, he's immovable.
Okay, I'll tell them no. Since we're talking Dryers, though, I did want to discuss distribution. Dryers distributes most of our ice cream, which gives them huge power over us. Dryers also takes us for granted. Ben, we should diversify our distribution. Move product off Dryers trucks and give it to other distributors. Doing that will shore up our independence, improve margins, and shock Dryers into pushing our products harder.
But who would we move distribution to?
Häagen-Dazs.
Ben jerks upright.
Häagen-Dazs? They're our rival. Actually, the research I commissioned shows customers rarely switch between Häagen-Dazs and Ben & Jerry's. I sounded out Häagen-Dazs about a distribution deal, and they said they've known this for years and are open to working with us.
The board is shocked. But the chance to give Dryers a black eye and reinforce Ben & Jerry's independence is hard to resist. The board backs Odak's plan. But this decision is about to unleash a chain of events that will threaten everything that Ben & Jerry built. Tools and Weapons is a podcast exploring the promise and the peril of the digital age, hosted by Microsoft's vice chair and president, Brad Smith. His latest guest is Bayer CEO Bill Anderson. Though many of us know Bayer for its pharmaceuticals, they're also focused on crop science with the goal of making sure no one on planet Earth goes hungry. On Tools and Weapons, Brad and Bill talk about how the German company is using artificial intelligence paired with CRISPR technology to increase food production without fertilizers. Their efforts put AI and digital tools in the hands of farmers to get the most out of every acre on a hotter, more crowded planet. It's the latest conversation in a series that invites listeners to pull up a front row seat to some of the most important developments in technology today. You can check out this episode and a whole lot more of Tools and Weapons with Brad Smith wherever you get your podcasts.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know, kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
From Wondery, I'm David Brown, and this is Business Wars. On the last episode, Häagen-Dazs gave Europe and Asia a taste of luxury. A talent shortage softened Ben & Jerry's growth, and Nestle and Unilever began a global battle for ice cream dominance. Now, Nestle and Unilever are lusting after the super premium heavyweights. This is Episode 5, Hunger Games. September 1998, Oakland, California, Dreyer's headquarters. The entire company is squished into the conference room, watching as CEO Gary Rogers prowls the front of the room. Rogers is a stocky former soldier with thin gray hair, and he looks ready to punch something, or someone.
Yesterday, Ben & Jerry's terminated its exclusive distribution deal with us and cut the amount of Ben & Jerry's we carry in half.
Shock ripples through the room. For 12 years, Dreyer's has delivered most of the nation's supply of Ben & Jerry's. When Dreyer's first put the ice cream maker on its trucks, it was a small New England brand about to be wiped out by a copycat called Steve's. The way Dreyer's sees it, without its trucks saving the day, America would be eating Steve's, not Ben & Jerry's.
And get this, they've hired Häagen-Dazs to distribute the ice cream they're taking off our trucks.
The mood in the room switches to anger. It's the ultimate slap in the face. Ben & Jerry's would rather work with its arch rival than with Dreyer's.
The truth is, Ben & Jerry's never trusted us, despite all we did for them. I don't know why, but I do know their actions will hurt us. Our costs per delivery will rise. Our earnings per share will fall. But we will not sit around crying. No. We will hit back hard with our own super premium brand.
Yeah.
The room erupts. Rogers' riled up employees want revenge.
We've got 12 months until Ben & Jerry's leaves our trucks. When that day comes, I want our new product ready. We're going to take the middle ground between them and their new friends at Häagen-Dazs. I want flavors as fun as any Ben & Jerry's makes, and a better vanilla than Häagen-Dazs.
The team cheers as Rogers paces like a boxer in the ring.
I trust you all to make this happen. But make no mistake, we cannot lose this fight. There are no mulligans in this game. We must win. Period.
The team goes wild. They love this fighting talk. But Rogers isn't kidding. This is make or break. Nestle is waiting for the perfect moment to seize full control of Dreyer's. And unless Rogers can repair the damage done by Ben & Jerry's, Dreyer's stock will tumble and Nestle will pounce. March 1999, Lamar's, Iowa. At Wells Dairy's South Plant, the day shift is ending. At 500,000 square feet, it's one of the world's biggest ice cream factories. It's famous for making Wells Blue Bunny, but these days, it also churns out Häagen-Dazs. Häagen-Dazs turned to Wells after deciding to shut down its own factory in New Jersey. The New Jersey plant made half the Häagen-Dazs sold in America, but after years of battling the union, the brand decided the site wasn't worth the hassle. Now, Wells is making its first batches of Häagen-Dazs. But a ruptured valve is about to upend Häagen-Dazs' plans. In the locker room, workers are preparing to clock out when one of them notices a faint odor.
You smell that? It's like a urinal.
Yeah, smells like ammonia.
The workers' eyes widen. The plant uses ammonia as a refrigerant. They shouldn't be able to smell this hazardous compound unless there's a leak. But it's already too late to act.
Oh my God!
The two men recoil as an explosion rocks the facility. The men dash for the exit, joining the throng of fleeing workers. People push through the main doors and spill out onto factory grounds. They see smoke rising from the far end of the facility.
Good God, it's blasted through the roof!
The acrid stench of ammonia hits again. The explosion hasn't just punched a hole in the roof. It's released more than 100,000 pounds of toxic ammonia into the air. The small town of Lamars enters a state of emergency. Homes and businesses are evacuated. Police officers divert traffic. Firefighters in respirators battle the flames. Untreated wastewater from the plant pours into the Floyd River. One worker is rushed to a burns unit in Sioux City. A policeman and grocery store employee who were near the plant when it exploded are treated for ammonia inhalation. By midnight, the fire's out and strong winds have dispersed the ammonia. But it will take months and millions of dollars to fix the devastated factory. With the Wells plant offline, Häagen-Dazs enters summer, missing half of its usual supply. The shortage leaves supermarkets with empty space in their freezers, space that Dreyer's is eager to fill with its new super-premium brand, Dreamery. In August 1999, Dreamery storms into freezers, supported by big discounts, 18 flavors, and millions of ad dollars.
What if there were a mountain made of vanilla and black raspberry ice cream? And you were buried under an avalanche of giant black raspberries and chocolate chunks? And you had to eat your way out? Would that be so bad?
Black raspberry avalanche ice cream from Dreamery. What flavor do you dream in?
Dreamery makes inroads fast, thundering towards a 10% slice of the super premium ice cream market. It's still far behind Häagen-Dazs and Ben & Jerry's, but it's enough to give them the jitters. Not that Häagen-Dazs owner Pillsbury will need to fret about Dreamery for long. August 1999, South Burlington, Vermont. Ben & Jerry's CEO Perry Odak is in his office, working through the papers in his inbox, when the phone rings. It's the president of Häagen-Dazs.
Perry, I want to come see you.
Sure, I'll have my assistant call yours.
I mean today. I'm in the air right now in the company jet. We land in Burlington in an hour.
Huh? What the heck is this all about?
I'll explain when I see you.
90 minutes later, the Häagen-Dazs president arrives at Odak's office. With him is a man Odak doesn't recognize.
Right. What's going on? Who's this?
Perry, meet James Dinneman, CEO of ice cream at Nestle USA.
Odak wearily shakes Dinneman's hand. Häagen-Dazs' president explains what's going on.
Tomorrow, Nestle and Pillsbury will announce that they're combining their U.S. ice cream business in a 50-50 joint venture. It'll be called Ice Cream Partners.
Odak didn't expect this, but he's not shocked. Nestle's building a global ice cream empire, and Pillsbury's spent years wondering how Häagen-Dazs fits with the rest of its brand portfolio. A joint venture lets Nestle grab a bite of the super premium ice cream category, while also letting Pillsbury move Häagen-Dazs into a more suitable home.
Okay, but what does this mean for Ben & Jerry's?
We came here to reassure you that nothing changes. We still want to distribute Ben & Jerry's. The more products our trucks carry, the more efficient our distribution is.
I see.
Dinneman cuts in.
Nestle's expertise is getting novelties like Drumstick into convenience stores, theme parks, and other impulse purchase locations. What this joint venture does is combine Nestle's strong convenience store distribution with Häagen-Dazs' strength in supermarket distribution. So if anything, this is better for Ben & Jerry's.
Odak nods politely, but he's far from happy.
This deal is a tectonic shift for the ice cream world. ODAC put Ben & Jerry's onto Häagen-Dazs trucks to reduce its dependence on dryers. But now that Nestle has partial ownership of both Häagen-Dazs and dryers, he's right back where he started. Ben & Jerry's can no longer pit its two biggest distributors against each other without Nestle noticing. But there's more. Now that Nestle has staked its claim on Häagen-Dazs, its rival Unilever will have to respond. And that, well, that means Unilever's coming for Ben & Jerry's. A few days later, Unilever comes knocking. After weeks of informal talks with the Anglo-Dutch giant, Ben & Jerry's suggests pooling their ice cream brands in a joint venture that would bring Ben & Jerry's and Unilever brands like Breyers and Good Humor under one roof. Unilever says no. It wants Ben & Jerry's all to itself, and it'll pay more than $200 million to get it. Then, Dreyer's ups the stakes with a rival bid. The question of what to do divides Ben & Jerry's board. On one side is ODAC and those who see a sale as inevitable. On the other side, co-founder Ben Cohen and his backers wave the flag for independence. Jerry Greenfield is caught in the middle, torn between the case for selling and his best friend's idealism. And as Dreyer's and Unilever both circle Ben & Jerry's, the caring capitalism movement watches on in horror. January 2000, Shutesbury, Massachusetts. In his backyard hot tub, Terry Mulner and his friends sit as water bubbles around them. But Mulner can't relax. He's the bearded co-founder of a leading social investment fund, and he's got Ben & Jerry's on his mind. He tilts back his head and sighs. A friend takes the bait.
You all right, Terry? No, I'm not. They're gonna take Ben & Jerry's.
Who?
Unilever, or Dreyer's, or some other faceless corporation.
Too bad.
Mulner sits up.
Ben & Jerry's is a beacon for all social businesses. They're the blueprint.
Mulner begins pounding the water with his fists.
Ben & Jerry's pays employees a living wage, damn it. It fought Monsanto over growth hormones in dairy cows. Its brownie supplier hires the homeless. It opposed the Gulf War, for Christ's sake.
Mulner's friends duck as his flailing fist splashes them with water.
If Ben & Jerry's fails, who's next? Stonyfield Farm? The Body Shop? Corporations would turn them all into soulless husks.
Then why don't you do something about it?
Mulner freezes. He hadn't thought of that.
Yeah. You know, you're right. I could bring investors together, do a leveraged buyout, and take Ben & Jerry's private.
The next morning, Mulner phones Ben and gets his blessing. Then, Mulner assembles Meadowbrook, a band of investors willing to fight Dreyer's and Unilever for Ben & Jerry's. Ben still wants independence, but Meadowbrook's a tempting backup plan. With Meadowbrook, Ben & Jerry's can escape the clutches of big business, wiggle free of the legal restraints of being a public company, and maintain its righteous path. Ben also senses the public is with him, egging him on to evade the corporate predators. The company's fans are already protesting the sale on the streets of Burlington. This could be a repeat of the Doughboy fight, times 10. But then, Ben treads on a legal landmine.
You know, Audible has a brand new collection of exclusive thrillers. Every move is made more exciting by captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances. I just downloaded The Grand Opening by Carl Weber. It's a mystery about a family business in a small southern town, and there are secrets around every turn. You know, when I'm listening, the time just disappears, getting completely immersed in the story and the performances. And as an Audible member, you get to keep one title a month from their entire catalog, including bestsellers and new releases. So come on, listen along. New members can try Audible now free for 30 days. Head on over to audible.com/BW or just text BW to 500-500. That's audible.com/BW or text BW to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days. As business owners and managers, you use software for your business every day. You use one piece of software to manage your customers, another to manage your employees, another to manage your finances, and the list goes on. You buy these pieces independently and hope they fit neatly together like a puzzle. And then you find out the hard way that they don't, and you end up with a mess at the heart of your business operations. Does any of this sound familiar? Well, fortunately, Zoho offers a solution to this chaos. It's called Zoho One. Zoho One is a suite of around 50 pre-integrated business applications that fit together beautifully. So instead of dealing with disparate software from multiple vendors with multiple contracts and price points, you deal with one vendor with all the pieces of the business software puzzle neatly put together, offered at a very attractive price. Now, if this sounds interesting to you, you got to check out Zoho One at zoho.one. That's Zoho.one. With Zoho, you're not just licensing apps. You're licensing peace of mind. February 2000, Skadden Arps Law Firm, Manhattan. Ben & Jerry's CEO Perry Odak lays his copy of the Wall Street Journal on the meeting room table and points at its latest story on the fight for Ben & Jerry's. It details how socially responsible investors are rallying to save Ben & Jerry's from a corporate takeover, and it's packed with insider knowledge.
Ben, you want to explain this? What's there to explain? We need to get people riled up.
Odak gives the Skadden Arps lawyers sitting with them a, you gonna tell them or shall I look?
Ben, your comments in that article support Meadowbrook's bid.
I implied support. I wasn't categorical.
You are a controlling stockholder who sits on the board of the company. Your comments have triggered the Revlon doctrine.
Oh, what's that?
It's a legal precedent. Once triggered, company directors are required to submit to the takeover offer that best serves the stockholders' interests. Usually, that means going with the highest offer.
Are you saying we can't control the outcome?
I'm saying the board's leeway to make decisions is now tightly restricted. Your comments could be a basis for stockholder lawsuits if the doctrine isn't followed.
But we can still go with Meadowbrook, right?
If their offer is in the best interests for the stockholders, sure. My advice? Hold a bidding war. Get the interested parties competing to maximize their offers. That way, no one can say the board didn't act in the stockholders' interests.
In the weeks that follow, the battle intensifies. Unilever and Dreyer's keep increasing their bids, while Meadowbrook strains to keep up. Eventually, as Dreyer's pumps its offer past $300 million, Meadowbrook drops out. Ben's plan A and B have failed. And with just two contenders left, Ben & Jerry's calls them to New York to present their best and final offers. April 2000, Manhattan. In the Skadden Arps boardroom, Dreyer's CEO Gary Rogers is trying to win over Ben & Jerry's board. But everyone in the room knows Nestle is here in spirit, too. Nestle owns a significant chunk of Dreyer's and co-owns Häagen-Dazs in the United States. And Rogers knows if he loses Ben & Jerry's to Unilever today, Nestle will swallow his company.
Lastly, price. We're revising our previous offer upwards to $43.61 per share, making a final all-stock offer of $326 million. Our companies are meant to be together. We understand each other.
Ben almost laughs. To him, Rogers is the man, a G.I. Joe who traded in his dog tags and fatigues for a Harvard MBA in a three-button suit. Ben fires a question at the Dryer's CEO.
What are your plans for Ben and Jerry's in Israel? Avi Zinger, he's our licensee there, is struggling to grow sales.
Rogers doesn't care for Ben and Jerry's small fry international operations. Dryer's ambitions stop at the U.S. border.
If he can't make Israel work, we shut him down.
Odak winces at Rogers' tone-deaf response. The Israeli licensee is a friend of a friend of Ben's. He might not make the company millions, but like so much at Ben and Jerry's, profit isn't the point. Odak checks his wristwatch.
Time's up, Gary. Any final words?
Yes. Dryers and Ben and Jerry's share a commitment to quality that Unilever lacks. Unilever bought Klondike and made it a low-grade product. Did the same thing to Popsicle. Unilever's got form. It distributes to warehouses, not stores. It will not treat your product with the dedication Dryers will.
Rogers leaves the meeting with his fingers crossed. He needs this deal to stop Nestle from buying Dryers. If Dryers gets Ben and Jerry's, antitrust regulators would block a Nestle takeover because of the Swiss giant's stake in Häagen-Dazs. This is Dryers' last shot at independence. 30 minutes later, Unilever's North American boss, Richard Goldstein, enters the room. Goldstein knows he must win today. Nestle already co-owns Häagen-Dazs in the U.S., If Unilever is to keep pace with its Swiss rival, it has to secure Ben & Jerry's. Goldstein makes a beeline for the co-founders.
Hey, Ben. Hey, Jerry. Before we start, I got something for you.
Goldstein reaches into his pocket and pulls out a Unilever checkbook. Ben and Jerry watch as he writes a check.
This is a donation to the Ben & Jerry's Foundation. Whether we win or lose today, the foundation keeps this.
Goldstein tears off the check and hands it over. Ben and Jerry's eyes almost pop out. It's a check for $5 million. It's a super smooth start, and it needs to be. Nestle already has its claws in Häagen-Dazs. If Dryers wins today, Unilever will be shut out of the highest margin segment in U.S. ice cream. Goldstein opens by offering $326 million in cash. Like Dryer's all-stock offer, it will make Ben, Jerry, and CEO Perry Odak very rich. Ben will get $40 million, Jerry, $9.5 million, Odak, a cool $13 million. But Goldstein knows ideals matter as much as price in this contest, so he heaps on the promises.
No layoffs for 2 years.
Continued investment in social causes.
No decline in product quality.
Brand can take political positions that conflict with Unilever's own views. Then comes the biggest promise of all.
We will also create an independent board to act as the conscience of Ben & Jerry's. Now, if we fail to protect the brand's social mission or product quality, the board can sue Unilever at Unilever's expense and make us do it right.
After lunch, Ben and Jerry return to the boardroom. They're about to make millions, but they look glum. The dream is over. They're about to kiss goodbye to the little scoop shop they nurtured into a trend-setting mega brand. As the other board members arrive, Ben turns to Jerry.
I think this is the worst day of my life.
Think of it this way. We only failed because we succeeded.
Jerry?
Yeah, Ben?
It's been a long, strange trip, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. It really has.
The two friends look up. The board is ready. Their time is up. The board debates the competing offers for hours. Then, at 2 a.m, the talking stops. And the board members cast their votes. On the next episode, Ben & Jerry's fights to save its soul. Häagen-Dazs builds a buzz.
and a holier-than-thou treat ascends to the top.
Hey, Prime members, you can binge every episode of Business Wars ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
From Wondery, this is Episode 5 of Häagen-Dazs vs. Ben & Jerry's for Business Wars. A quick note about recreations you've been hearing. In most cases, we can't know exactly what was said. Those scenes are dramatizations, but they're based on historical research. Special thanks to Mike Crone and Stephen Moss for sharing their expertise for this episode. If you'd like to learn more about the battle to buy Ben & Jerry's, check out Brad Edmondson's book, Ice Cream Social, The Struggle for the Soul of Ben & Jerry's. I'm your host, David Brown. Tristan Donovan wrote this story. Karen Lowe is our senior producer and editor. Edited and produced by Emily Frost. Voice acting by Michelle Phillippe. Sound design by Kyle Randall. Our associate producer is Kate Young. Our producer is Dave Schilling. Our executive producers are Jenny Lauer Beckman and Marshall Louie. Created by Hernan Lopez for Wondery.
Once upon a beat. Remember the stories and fables that captured your imagination when you were young? We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remixed and reimagined for the kids in your life today. Yeah. Wondery and Tinkercast are bringing you a music-filled weekly party hosted by me,
DJ Fuse,
and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, spinning tales in the New Kids and Family podcast, Once Upon a Beat, where hip-hop and fables meet. Hey, grown-ups, listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Once Upon a Beat.